that. Anyway, sir, I'll let you get back to your packing, and I'm going to go get that panel and see if I can mount that everything on that strip chassis. I actually stripped down an entire PC chassis the other day and actually threw it in the sink and scoured it, got everything squared away. So maybe that makes sense to use that. Because now I just have this U-shaped piece of metal with a couple of mounting studs. I can probably put that to good work right in this case and be done with it. That would just allow me to put four corner holes in this thing. And, in fact, I could do it with no corner holes. I could actually do it with silicone on the bottom and just adhese the thing to the bottom and then through bolt it to the internal ground lug. And that way it would be bonded as one piece of metal. So we'll see. One question to you, and I think about it. If I take an 18-inch square piece of metal that I am now siliconing to the other piece of metal, and I bond them together in one corner, do I not have a large capacitor?
Well, assuming they're not actually electrically connected, yeah, of course. Any two surfaces, by definition, have capacitance to each other.
Exactly. Well, they are going to be tied together. I mean, I would bolt the thing to the ground lug that's inside the case.
Well, if you've shorted it together, you've pretty well swamped out any capacitance there might be.
Even though, yeah, okay. I was worried about, any stray capacitance away from the ground point, but... Gotcha. What's the worst case? I have to drill a hole on the other side and go through the case and bomb the two together somewhere else to take something out. Yeah, no big deal.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. Yeah, at that point, you've got a, I suppose you could call it a big strip line thing. At which point, at some frequency, it will definitely have some resonance and could be interesting characteristics. Maybe not good. Anyway, I was looking at this thing, SX series are guaranteed waterproof to 70 feet. That's interesting. The other thing that I'm thinking about doing is one of the new Mac Minis for the DSP for my 5000.
Oh, yeah. Why not? I mean, those Mac Minis are amazing. The CPU is the size of your fist.
Yeah, the whole thing is really tiny. They're very conservative of power and not underpriced by any stretch. But, a very nice package nonetheless.
Yeah. Jeremy was telling me about it today. Not that he was shilling for one. It was more that he was just noting what they... what they're about, and how cool they are. So, he goes, "Dad, it's really small." He goes, "It goes this big, the size of my fist." Yep. All right. Well, we both have work to do. Let's get to it, and we'll chat it on. But Godspeed and be well. And that's okay. Let me get to you, TGT.
Okie dokie. Have a good one, and good luck with it. We'll talk to you soon. W2TTTNS2K.
W2TTT from W2JC.
Just getting the aforementioned chassis, and it's WTJC, W2TTT. How are you, Jim?
I didn't think you could hit the switch that fast. I just wanted to let you know I emailed you the photos of that thing. I had sent them to Bennett, so I just forwarded those to you. Someplace on my desk of paper piles, I do have the measurements. So when I excavate them, I'll send those over too.
Yeah, Yeah, that might be nice. Thank you. You asked me to email you something the other day, and I was between, should we say, computer crises. I'll leave it at that for now. What is it that you need from me?
I think there were two things in there. One was that you could resend the info about where to get those little $50 HTs. And I don't remember what the other one was.
Okay. It's RadioShop888.com.
Okay, just had to grab a piece of paper with enough room on it to write that down. Thank you. Get back to work. W2JC clear.
Okie doke. No problem, Jim. I can't believe this, but this computer chassis that I stripped down is bigger than the box. I'm trying to think who has a brake and a shear. Andy, K2ETN does. K2ETN, W2CTT. Are you listening, Andy?
KD2CRB, monitoring. Over.
K2. All right. 73, Jim. Have a good one. KD2CRB, W2CTT.
Yeah, Gordon, I've been going crazy on an Odyssey trying to get a battery for my TYT lithium battery. Finally landed one on eBay, I think. Over.
Do you want to get a spare battery? Was that the problem?
I wanted to get a battery. I ordered a battery from Ally something or other. Came in incorrectly. In other words, it was for, I guess, another TYT unit. So now I'm working with them to send it back. But I did find a battery on eBay. Lithium, I guess, if I'm saying it correctly. Looks like the correct size and everything. It runs about $24. And I'm having it sent it to me. Reason being is I'm going to be working the New York Marathon, and I wanted to have a backup battery back here.
Yeah, that's very prudent. You know, sometimes I handle that problem a little differently than others. I just bring a second radio. But as you see fit, I mean, that's perfectly workable. Son of a gun, I can't believe that this thing was so big. Well, who would have thought? Alright, so I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the original approach, and thank God I took a picture of what I want. I actually laid some of the parts into this box just to do a trial fit and, you know, make sure connectors were oriented right, things like that. Lo and behold, it all worked out pretty well. Not exactly a problem. Now that I've taken everything out and forgot where I had placed everything, it's nice to have a picture to reference.
Yeah. Another question. I had a chance to get hold of a battery shell for the CYT, and basically allows you to put in five AA batteries, but I sort of steered away from that because I kind of figured those would wear down very quickly. Over.
That's a great idea. No harm can come from that idea. I not only recommend it, but I applaud it.
Yes, I do. I was, and off on another thing, I was over Tuesday night at a CERT, I guess it was sort of a training seminar for, most of the people there were being trained on FRS radios for emergencies, so we did have some hands there. In fact, Rob was there, and I found it interesting.
Teaching CERT people how to use radios. Yeah, that's a an interesting problem, isn't it? yeah, and well worth the training to do it. People talking in the wrong side of the radio, people going, yo, duh. You know, yo, duh is what happens when Star Wars goes to the hood.
So true. But the guy who was giving the seminar was someone named Don Bosco. I don't know what that rings a bell. And I know he's been a hand for quite a while. And we were trying to get a lot of the people, telling them how, if they want to go for their technician's license, where to get the book and so forth. But it was interesting.
Yeah. Ron needs to have somebody not a CW person, such as himself, do the talk about how to use a microphone. Just on principle. If nothing else, he needs just to delegate that time and effort that he puts in to let other people do it. But, yeah, I hear you. That's funny, though. do you know the standing joke that Ron teases himself about? Did you hear how he handles the microphone?
All he said was he's been into CW for quite a while, and now he's starting to do voice, and it was nice. He had a PowerPoint presentation. His wife was working it, but I wasn't familiar with the joke. Over.
Did you say his wife was working it?
His wife was in other words, he had a laptop computer and attached to a projector, and he would signal his wife, you know, to hit the space bar in order to turn the slides. But it was great, and I think she had just gotten her technical license, and he asked her what her call letters were, and she said she sort of shook her head. Over.
I'm just marking up a chassis here. I didn't know his wife had a license at all, but good for her. Good for her. I'm glad. I mean, well, Ron's been a ham for since CERT, and he is a real CW guy, and he's unbelievable. I mean, he crawls at 30 words a minute. I mean, he is really, really fast, a good skilled operator.
Yes, he had mentioned it, and I was very, very impressed. But the seminar was good, yes, and he pointed out to these people using the FRS, you know, the do's and don'ts. Don't put it into your, don't put the radio into your belt with the speaker facing your body and so on and so forth. But it was a good presentation, and I enjoyed it, and I learned that there's a repeater on top of the, Bergen Regional Hospital. In fact, that's a very interesting insight. Over.
Yep. The Pramus repeater's there. And, that's great. That really is great. Those are things that he really should delegate to other people. I mean, you know, there's plenty of people in his group who can do that. And he should get them to do it. So frankly, he doesn't have to. I mean, good God. I mean, he's so busy doing so many good things. It's like, you know, give it a rest. Let other people deal with the, you know, all the sturmandrang that has to be done. I think it'd be wiser to do that. But anyway, I'm hoping I can fit another power pole in this space. I'm measuring out stuff, trying to make sure it's right. You know, cable arcs and such like that. I think I'm just going to have to make a cable and see if I can jam it in that position before I start drawing metal. I'm a big believer in testing things before you come in, you know.
I understand that. I am looking into, and I always can bring this up at the technical section from that, AES sells an antenna at three poles. That goes up to about 5. Well, the biggest one goes up to about 5.5 feet. It's for 440 and I believe for 144. It can fit in my attic, and that's my question. I was wondering if I did put it up there, could I still transmit, or would I have problems, with the attic? But I'm thinking of doing it as a project, and I'll go from there.
I think it's a great idea. Just straight up. It's a great idea. Any antenna that's, you know, permanent and not shrouded in metal, it could be better than what you have. It'll add some stability. It'll let you put a second antenna in still in your apartment and things like that, but you'll have different opportunities to do stuff. So if you have an attic you can get into, go for it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we'll do. And I'll just run the coaxial down. I have a little trap door where I can get in, up and down. I just need a little bit of a ladder. And I thought this would be a good way of getting around it because I don't want to have something sticking out of the window and selling it for so forth. So thank you. I'll definitely go for it. Thank you.
I mean, is it going to be like, you know, the antenna that's 80 feet in the air? No. But will it be a whole lot less like an HT on your ass? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it'll be. What I was thinking of doing is building like a little wooden base and somehow screwing into the base. You can see where the screws go, screw holes go. It'll be maybe a project or a kitchen project or something like that. But I should be able to mount it pretty cheaply and go from there.
It sounds smart. And by the way, you know, while you're there, you can run wire in your attic for HF, or you can put another antenna at the other end of your attic, you know, for something else, and so on and so on. I mean, you know, over time, you know, you can propagate all sorts of different antennas up there. And what's nice about it is that they're neat and clean, out of sight. They'll perform fairly well. And you know, if you do it this time of year, you're not going to die. It's not like doing it in August.
Yeah, so true. That's a very, very good point. And because my next step up is possibly going for a mobile unit. And the other thing I'm going to do, I have to buckle down of the wind. I want to study for the general.
That's good. yeah, my number two son, my number one son, is working on his general. He'd like to pass it before the year is out. I think it'd be good for him. And of course, he knows what's going to happen. The second he gets his general, I'm going to go badger him to get his extra.
Yeah, that'll be great. What I'm trying to do is that there is a friend of mine, what he does, there is a one-day course, and I took it. This is how I got my technical at the Fairfield Red Cross. And so I got to find out when that one-day course, one-day seminar is going to be for the general. And then what I want to do is maybe a month before this course, get the book and then start reading it. And then the day I take that seminar, right afterwards, take the exam.
Park Square just did one of those back in September, but they want to do that several times a year, so that's good.
Yes, I do, and it should work out. But anyway, so that's it. I'm having a lot of fun. And for the New York Marathon, I just got a reply from the communications captain. He's putting me on mile marker 15. And I'm just waiting for him to reply further with the data. And hopefully, he will give me the frequencies beforehand so I can program him using my computer. The PYT, I probably could figure it out, but I just don't want to do it manually. Yeah, over.
That's a bit of a state secret, you know. The OPSEC for the marathon is pretty tight. Considering how many people ultimately get to know things, the OPSEC is amazingly tight.
Comment.
Mr. Chairman, speaking of one who would know.
If you remember what last year is, it'll be the same.
Yeah, I didn't do it last year. I just couldn't. My problem is that this the scout event that I need to move, and I wasn't able to move it last year. And next year, hopefully, I'll be able to move it so that I can participate in the marathon.
No problem. Just move it to mile 7, NS2K.
That's my group.
There you go.
Chinese guy from Brooklyn runs that mile. He's a mile captain there. He's a hoot. We have a great time.
Oh, yeah. Tony's a good guy.
After that, we got a McDonald's right there. It's great.
Okay.
No bathroom problems. No food problems. You can be back on post in 5 minutes. It's great.
Yeah. You could be on the middle of a bridge someplace. Yeah.
Mile marker 15, I took a look, and it's right near the Queensboro Bridge. I'm in Long Island City, so.
Yeah, we.
You don't know this, but Jim is one of the net controls. I'm a past net control for the Packet Network, which no longer exists. And I've also been a mile 20 guy. Who you send a mile 20? People who have no brains, no fear, or too much cojones for their own good. Any combination of those things.
Anyway, it should be interesting.
It will be. It's always a fun event. I always get cranky when I can't participate. So, Jim, did you ascertain where I might be, or where I've been in that?
Oh, no, I haven't, no.
I asked Andy if he wanted to do mile 20. He says, no, I'm going to do the band show. Back when we had the band show, so Andy Funk took that, and I ended up going to the barrio.
No, I've only actually worked a couple of different locations during the event. For years, my usual location. Oh gosh, I did all kinds of places. It was usually a repeater site where we'd have 5 or 10 transmitters and receivers within analog video.
Oh, but you were being paid for that job.
Oh, well, yeah. One time I had a Bell 222 with 5 microwave repeaters in it.
Really? Flying around?
Yeah. No, it was a situation where the weather was threatening to be really bad. So they needed to have an IFR rated helicopter that we could basically fly over the head of the race to do as many of the vehicles as possible.
Sweet. So, Stu, just for reference, Jim works for a certain alphabet soup company beginning with the letter A that's been known to do broadcasting. And a Bell 522 is a nice helicopter. Really is. I recommend it.
Yeah, I've got a couple pictures out of the window. Anyway, the other thing that I would typically do was rig another smaller helicopter with a Westcam or an X-Cam, gyroscopically stabilized camera. And Kenny Sanborn would typically be the cameraman on that. But I've done a few of those as well. But that's a lot of fun.
So you and Kenny were, if you will, crew in this chopper?
Yeah. I wouldn't always go up during the show because obviously weight is an issue. Not that I weighed that much back then, but anyway, no. But you obviously don't want any more in the helicopter than you absolutely have to. But of course, I spent more than enough, anyway, more than enough time in the air in one of those rotten things. Early 80s, I did the one up at Niagara Falls. We had a men's trial. That was, oh, Lord, nearly killed me. But we worked about 48 hours straight, and then we had to drive from Niagara to Lake Placid that night for a job the next morning. Needless to say, we were both about as close to death as you ever want to be. And that's too bad.
Yeah, I would imagine you were tired boys. Yes, sir. All right, gentlemen, I'm going to get back to work here. I'm trying to, make an effort of making this look pretty. And I must say, I'm taking a bit of my sweet time at it, but it's getting there.
Okay, Katie Sue, CBR, wishing everybody a good night. But it's heading off to 73.
73, Stu. And Jim, over to you. I'm fine. MSTK, the group W2TTT.
Yep. Everybody have a great evening, and we'll see you tomorrow night. I might make the meeting, and then again, I might not. up to the other parties involved. Anyway, have a great evening and get some good rest. WTTT and Group NS2K.
Yes, sir. The Leah 2 TTT. I'm going to do just that. I'm saying an arbitrary midnight deadline. So, night-night. NS2J.